Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Sota is Daf Ches. Thank the Lupin Foundation for the sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is Lona Zichron Nishmas Liba, Gabriela Bashmuel. We're continuing from the Mishnayos that we saw yesterday. Mishnayos, second, third Mishnah of the Masechta we saw on Daf Zion, discussed the details regarding the actual process of the Sota. She received Kinui, she received Stira, she received both a warning in front of two witnesses, and she secluded herself with a man in front of two witnesses. After that point in time, we don't know what happened. Now she has the status of a Sota. She's also to her husband from this point going forward. But this is not an Isser Olam, this is not a permanent Isser. What could happen, what will happen is that she's going to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. She'll drink from the Beis Sota, and if everything goes great, great, and everything doesn't go great, so then it doesn't go great. I think we got that part. The Mishnah was very detailed in terms of exactly what the procedure is. The Mishnah that we saw yesterday says that first the local basin, wherever she's living, is going to make the decision of sending her to the basin Agadol. Two Talmidei Chachamim are going to escort her. According to Rav Yehuda, the two Talmidei Chachamim are necessary. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Zayin Amud Aleph is more specific about what happens once she's brought to Yerushalayim. She's brought in front of the Basin Agadol, Basin of 71. Yesterday we learned it out from a psukim, a gzera shava, between this parsha and the parsha of Zakim Amre. So it's a Basin Agadol, even though capital crime only requires a Basin of 23. But over here, getting to the gzera shava, so it's a Basin of 71. And then we try our best to get her to confess, because what we really don't want to do is we don't want to take the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, put it in the water, erase the name of Hashem. So the Mishnah describes how they would try to get her to confess. They tell her things which are edgy, which we're going to discuss right now in just a moment, what that means. Things that shouldn't be heard, says the Mishnah, which we're going to explain in just a moment. And if she is persistent that she is in fact Tahora and that nothing happened, so they bring her up to the Shar HaMizrach, the Eastern Gate, the Shar Nikanor. Excuse me. And right opposite the gate, and they would grab the clothing. If the clothing ripped, it ripped, and they would reveal some of her body. They would undo her hair, and Rabbi Huda warns that you got to be careful. You can't do this for every sota. And then remove the jewelry, put on some clothing that is unattractive, and anyone who would like to see this may see this. The only exception is Avadevish Ushvacheha. Plenty of good seats still available. Avadevish Vacheha, her maidservants and her servants can't see this because they're going to embolden her. And then that's where the Mishnah ends. On this Mishnah, so what we discussed yesterday is number one, the idea that's based in Agadol. And now we're continuing Tanur Rabbanan. We're right in the middle of Zayin Amud Beis, where we pick off where we left off yesterday. Va'omer lefaneha. We're going to tell her things which are just right on the edge. Things that shouldn't be heard. So Tanur Rabbanan omer lefaneha dvarim shel Hagadol. Umasim she'iru b'ksuvim harishonim. So we're going to tell her a gadata. Gadata over here, stories, but stories obviously meaning not stories, not fables, but stories meaning we're going to tell her about the personalities in Tanakh. And ksuvim harishonim, and those things that are written in the Torah. Kagon. Asher chachamim am ksuvim harishonim. The things that are written in Tanakh. Asher chachamim yagidu v'lo kachado me'avosam. Yehuda hoda v'lo bosh. So for example, we're going to tell her that Yehuda admitted. There's nothing wrong with admitting what you did wrong. Yehuda did it. And he was not embarrassed. My Yusufa Nachal Chayolam Abba. What did Yehuda get as a reward for admission? So he got a portion of the world to come. Reuven Hodev Labosh. Reuven also made an admission, and he wasn't embarrassed. My Yusufa Nachal Chayolam Abba. And he got a portion of the world to come. Mascharan. So and then the Gemara asked the question, what's the reward? Which the Gemara balks at its own question. Mascharan Kedekamrinan. What do you mean? We just said that they get a portion of the world to come. That's the reward. So Ella Mascharan Baolam Azeb. To which the Gemara says, okay, I'm with you. But in this world, is there anything they have to look forward to for admission? So, lahem levadam nitna haaretz v'lo avar zar b'socham. So the Gemara says, sure. Again, just following the psukim and Eov. When you make an admission, and you just simply say, yes, I did it. I did wrong. So not only do you get a reward in the world to come, but you also get a reward in this world as well. You get a portion in the world, in the land. There won't be any strangers passing through the land. Meaning, yes, even in this world, there's a reward. Bishlam abihud ashkechan do d'chsev. Now, as far as Yehuda is concerned, so where do we know that he made an admission? So the Pesukim, Vayakir Yehuda v'yomer tzadkim imeni. So by Yehuda it says, story of Yehuda and Tamar. So Tamar gets pregnant, he doesn't realize that he's the father, he was the one who impregnated her. So he's about to send her burnt, and she wasn't ready to embarrass him. In fact, in just a couple days from now in the Gemara and Sota, we're going to discuss that she was ready to give up her life rather than embarrass him. A discussion coming up later in this very parak, Daf Yud, I think. So anyway, so... But right now we're focusing on Yehuda's admission. So she gives the staff and the ring, and she says, "Do you recognize this?" And Yehuda looks at it and says, "Yeah, you're right. It's mine." And so that must mean I'm the father, because he, instead of giving the payment to the prostitute, he gave her just a deposit. And those are the things that he deposited by the prostitute. And he's now learning for the first time that the prostitute and his daughter-in-law are one and the same person. So he made an admission. And the Gemara says, good. And that's where we see Yehuda made an admission. And again, we're encouraging the Sota. Yehuda made an admission, you could do it too. Okay. Ella Ruvain min alan de odi. But the Gemara says, okay, now where in the Pesukim do we have this by Ruvain? So Amra Bishmol bar Nachmin Amra Yochanan my dechsiv yichi Ruvain valyamos. So the Gemara says, basically, the answer is, it doesn't say it straight out. Meaning, unlike Yehuda, where the Torah says clearly that he admitted, doesn't say it by Ruvain. But what we're going to do is, encrypted in the Pesukim, is going to be this idea that Yehuda also made, I'm sorry, Reuven also made an admission. So the pasuk says, "Yichi Reuven val yamos." Right, Reuven should long live Reuven, and he's not going to die. V'zos le Yehuda. So and this is to Yehuda. So basically, we're looking at the hemshach ha-psukim. Kol osam shanim shehayu yisro b'midbar hayu atzmasam shel Yehuda megugalim ba'aron. All the years that the Jews were in the desert. Excuse me. The bones of Yehuda were rolling in the coffin. Ashaman Moshe Bikesh Lavrachman. Moshe stepped up forward and asked for Rachmanus. Amar lo fanav Ribono shel Olam Migaram L'Reuven Shehoda Yehuda. And Moshe, in his petition to have the bones of Yehuda, so to say, calm down. So Kadosh Baruch Hu turned to Moshe turned to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe said, "You know, Yehuda was an unbelievable influence. He basically got Reuven to admit of what he did wrong." V'zos Yehuda, miyach shama Hashem kol Yehuda, so al evereha l'shafa. So good. So now what we're going to do is we're going to follow the psukim, and within the psukim we're going to inject this understanding, this background story, so to say, of Moshe petitioning on behalf of Yehuda. So Moshe told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, "You know, Reuven only did tshuva because of Yehuda." Okay, good. So the Gemara says that as a result of that, al evreha l'shafa. So the bones of Yehuda basically went back into their joints. Okay. So Yehuda, so to say, the body of Yehuda, the bones of Yehuda, are quote unquote back together again. However, Yehuda upstairs was not allowed admission into the yeshiva shomala. Ve'el imo tevienu. So ve'el amo, thank you. Ve'el amo tevienu. Now again, we're following the psukim in Vezos Habracha, and now we get to see this as a backdrop to what's happening to Yehuda. So he's brought into his nation. Okay, so el amo tevienu, meaning he was allowed admission into his nation, meaning he was allowed into yeshiva shomala. Good. But although he was allowed into admission to yeshiva shomala, he didn't know what was going on. He didn't understand the discourse. Bahadir Rabbanan Yadav Rav Lo. So then he was given a pair of hands. Pair of hands meaning he was given the tools in which equipped so that he would understand what's going on in the shir and the yeshiva shamala. Lo hava kasalka le shmaita ali b'dehil chasa. Okay, so at least he was then now able to learn the yeshiva shamala. However, he wasn't able to arrive at sound conclusions. Ve'ezer mitzrav tiyya. So then he was girded with his belt. Okay, and again in the context of this of these drashas, an allusion to the idea that he was able to put it all together. So not only was he allowed admission to yeshiva shamala, not only was he given the ability to understand what's going on in the yeshiva, but also the final halacha as well. Bishlama Yehuda Daud Kech.
What about the chazal that exotic's body doesn't decompose?
So, I mean, it just it is what it is. And on top of that, the body, meaning just bones, is that that's what's curious to you? There should be more? Okay. I hear you. So the Gemara says, I understand there was a purpose to Yehuda's admission. Meaning, admission by itself, it's nice, but well, I mean, it's got to have a purpose to it. If it doesn't have a purpose, then what would be the point of admitting? Meaning, you did a chet, especially if it's main adam le'makam. Right, I saw Rabbeinu Chan, the Tosos Shantz over here, the Rashmi Shantz, right, the Gemara in Yuma, he quotes the Gemara in Yuma. Just as a quick backdrop. The Gemara in Yuma basically says like this. If you're an avarya, and if you did an aver bein adam le'makam, between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then there's no point in admitting it to other people. It's between you and God. You keep it between you and God. If there's a purpose in admitting it, that's fine. But if it's a mechay between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you keep it between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then if it's made not on the chaver, so the Gemara in Yuma says, okay, now there's some point, there's some purpose admitting it to other people.
To third party.
That's a good.
Huh? Admit it to the person in front of other people.
In other words, you should. So there's a purpose in admission. Over here by Yehuda and by Reuven. Now, I guess the part that's a little tricky, the Gemara doesn't discuss this. I'm bringing it up. The part that's a little bit tricky is ascertaining whether their averas were bein adam l'makom, bein adam l'chavero. It certainly involved other people. So you could say it's bein adam l'chavero. It's for both of them. It was arayos. Okay. The Rambam, just in general, the Rambam puts Arayus in the category of Bein Adam Lamakam, unless it's adultery. Adultery then, obviously, for sure, adultery can be compartmentalized under Bein Adam Chavera.
But okay. Reuben wasn't Arayus because he didn't really do it.
Yeah.
Whoever said that to Reuben.
Right, correct, the Gemara Shabbos. Yeah, right, I know. Okay, anyway, so... Anyway, so I say that all by a sloppy introduction to the Gemara coming up. So the Gemara now wants to know, what was the point of admission? So the Gemara says, Bishlam Yehuda do dikeh dolo tisar of Tamar. So it's in terms of Yehuda's admission, so the Gemara says, I get it. Meaning Tamar was about to be burnt. He had to admit so that in order to save Tamar's life. So there is a very, very simple and very practical, basic level of reason why he would admit. Ella Reuven, lama lele da'ode. But Reuven, okay, so he switched the beds of his fathers, right? I assume everyone knows. I didn't provide the background. The Torah describes that. Now, the simple pshat in the pasuk is vayishkav, that he slept with his stepmother. That's a simple pshat in the pasuk, but the Gemara Rashi brings down over there, the Gemara in Shabbos on Dafnan Hay, which says that no, that's not, even though that's a simple pshat, don't learn the pshat like that. Rather, he switched the beds around. He wanted his mother's bed to be the quote-unquote central bed. While Rachel was alive, Rachel was the central wife. Now that Rachel was no longer alive, he wanted his mother to be the central wife. Okay, and so he switched around the beds. That's the Gemara in Shabbos. But he didn't actually sleep with the stepmother, unlike the simple pshat. But whatever he did wrong, the Gemara says, why is he admitting it publicly? What would be the purpose? So the Gemara's answer, I'm sorry, before the Gemara gives an answer. Rav Sheshes says it's chutzpah. Meaning anyone who did a sin and then just admits it for no particular reason, that's chutzpah. Why would you do that? So the Gemara says, the Mefarad Chatei, ki hecha delo lichshadu achoi. So the Gemara says, yeah, Reuven did it because, at this point in time, Yaakov didn't know who switched the beds. Yaakov suspected all the brothers were involved. And so Reuven admitted so, to make sure that Yaakov understood, none of the other brothers were involved. Okay, the Gemara says, that's the benefit of Reuven making an admission. We're on Zayin Amud Beis, we're at the bottom of the Amud. Im Amra Tameya Ani. So, Shema Mina Kosrin Shover. Gemara here touches on the age-old question of, do we write receipts or do we not write receipts? Not really a sota topic, but it comes up. The Mishnah talks about the writing of a Shover. So, she makes an admission that... She makes an admission that she was in fact guilty. So the Mishnah describes that what we're going to do is we're going to tear up the ksuva. So it sounds like from the Mishnah. Here we go. So Imam Ratzmeyani Shaver's ksuva sa. So you break her ksuva. Okay, and why do you break her ksuva? So Shema Mina Kosrin Shofar. It sounds like from the Mishnah that from the simple fact that the Mishnah employed the word Shovrin, you write a receipt. Okay, just I'll do this very quickly. Do you write receipts? Do you not write receipts? It's a It's a super controversial issue. The Gemara in Baba Basra, at the end of Baba Basra, has this discussion. On one hand, isn't it great to write a receipt, meaning you paid up your loan, and now you want proof that you paid up your loan, so you've written a receipt. On the other hand, with a receipt, that's more paperwork, that's more documentation, and then that means then that the lender is going to still be holding on to his loan document, and the lender, if you ever lose your receipt, can just simply come at you again with the same loan document and say, hey, look, it was never paid up. I have the loan document. Where's his receipt? He lost it? Good. That's what he says. I don't believe him. So anyway, so it's a major issue whether you write a receipt or you don't write a receipt. From our Mishnah, use of the word shovrin, so it sounds like you do write a receipt. I'm Rabbi Tani Mikaraz. So Abai says, okay, so the word shovrin bothers you? Okay, so go back to the Mishnah, take out your pencil, erase the word shovrin, and use the word makrin. We'll tear up the ksuva. Amalei Rav Avashar Vers Ketanit. So Rav says, don't do that. All right, don't start editing the Mishnah. So Elam Rav Abamakum Shein Kosvin Ksuva Askinan. A very simple answer would be that our Mishnah is describing a locality, a location where they didn't write ksuva. Meaning, whether you write or you do not write the ksuva, all the Tanai ksuva are still in force. The only issue is, do you actually write the physical document? Most communities do, but the Gemara Ksuva has told us that some communities don't. If you live in a community where you don't write the ksuva, so how can you ensure the fact that you paid off your ksuva? The answer is shover. For that community, you write a shover. But in general, you don't write a shover. Okay. And if she is insistent that she did nothing wrong, I mean, she did something wrong. She violated her warning, and she secluded herself with a man. But after that point in time, nothing else happened. If she's insistent, so you bring her to Shara Mizrach. Ma'alen osa hasam kaima. The Gemara says just the geographic challenge of the Mishnah is she's there already. Right? The first words of the Mishnah is, Hayu ma'alen osa lebeitin agad shibur shalayim. That's where she is. And you bring her up to the eastern gate. And then the Mishnah says, now if she's insistent, so you bring her up to the eastern gate. She's there. So the Gemara says, Damaskin Allah Machtin Allah Kidela Yaga. So the Gemara on top of Chesamad Aleph says, yeah, you know what we do? We bring her up to the Shar HaMizrach, we bring her down. Rashi says, we basically are going to wrap her around the entire Har HaBayis. Right? Machtin Allah, look at the second Rashi in the Amud. Mikol Har HaBayis La'achar Sha'aymu Aleha. Right, we're basically trying to wear her down. So, because right now, if she's being a little bit stubborn, if she's being a little bit emboldened, so if you wear her down a little bit, so, and, you know, you can get an admission out of her. And again, as we've discussed already now, yesterday, today, one of the missions over here is to get an admission so that we don't have to go through the process of the sota. The Gemara says, the Tanya will enter the Bryce, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, based in Messiah, Masiyan Esa'id, Mimakum, Mimakum, Kedei, Shititar of Darn Alein, Viachzer Behem. The Gemara points out that on Eidos Nefashos, we have a similar idea. Right? Someone who's testifying on a capital crime. So now you have the Eidim stepping forward. Right? And these people are literally bystanders, meaning they didn't do anything wrong, but they're testifying on a capital crime. And obviously the consequence of the testimony is that somebody may in fact be executed. So we want to make sure that they're telling the truth. So what we do is basically we try to wear them down. Meaning as a means of making sure that what they're saying is absolutely true and accurate. Right, poor guys. Meaning literally they did nothing wrong. And meanwhile, this is what they have to subject themselves to in order to provide testimony. But okay, that's part of the mitzvah. Shisha mashkin asasota bishlam asotos tichsiv amina kohen asayisha lefnei Hashem. So I understand that that's where the sota is going to be because the Torah says that you bring, the Kohen brings a woman up, lift Hashem in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Umitzarei nami dechziv emid ha-Kohen ha-mita her. And also, the mitzarei also is placed right there in that location. The Gemara says, I get all that. Ella yolad is my time up. The woman has given birth. So the Gemara says, well, maybe for the Yoledis, it's nothing more than just simply she wants to be close to her carbon. So the Gemara says, and we know that as a general rule, you want to be near your carbon. The Yoledis has carbonus to bring, so she wants to be near her carbon. And that's why she's there. The Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, doesn't everyone want to be there by the carbon? So Azava. They're also going to bring carbonos. So the question is very simple. If the Mishnah over here is just telling us, these are the people that are right by the eastern gate because they want to be by the carbonos, list all the people that want to be by the carbon. In Hachinam, the Gemara's answer is, you're right. And the Gemara says, and the Mishnah was just giving an example. But you're absolutely right. The Yoledes, the Zav, the Zava, the Mitzora, all the people that are bringing carbonos that want to be by the carbon, so you're 100%. That's where they're going to be, by the eastern gate. Here we get to a very popular discussion in the Masechta, and the popular because of where the conversation is going to lead us. Two sotas. Now, the idea of even having one sota in the Beis HaMikdash, I would imagine, is uncommon. How often is this going to happen where you're going to have a sota drink the water? And at the beginning of the Masechta, somebody asked me, did this actually happen? I assume the answer is yes. Obviously without a Beis HaMikdash for the last 2,000 years, hard for me to give documented evidence that this, you know, that the from a historical standpoint, but I assume the answer is yes. The Bryce over here says, in Mashkin Shtei Sotas Ka'achas, we start off with the discussion of, what if there are two sotas who are coming to the Beis HaMikdash on the same day, and they both need to drink the Meisota. So don't, busy day in the Beis HaMikdash. So don't give them the Meisota at the same time. Why? Because you know what happens? So right now, one sota by herself, we may be able to break her. Break her meaning, she did something, and we're trying to get an admission, and that was the whole point. And okay, we may be able to get an admission out of her. However, if there are two sotas and they're next to one another, they're going to embolden one another. And so therefore and we just had this idea in yesterday's daf regarding her maidservants and her servants. They're going to embolden her. And if you have another sota, for sure they're going to embolden her. Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo min Hashem, who's that? So Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree with you, but not for your reason. Meaning you're right. You cannot offer two sotas to drink at the same time, but having nothing to do with the psychology. It has to do with, rather, psukim. The Torah says, I'm a crow, salavada. So the Torah says, osa, by yourself. Okay, in other words, it's exeris akasov. You're right, but not for the reason that you say. You're right because the Torah says, osa levada. V'tanakama haksiv osa. So the Gemara says, now what's the Tanakama going to say? Hachikama, Rabbi Shimon, he did Darish Shem of the Kra. So the Gemara says, yeah, the Tanakama is Rabbi Shimon. We just spoke about Rabbi Shimon a couple days ago. Rabbi Shimon, remember, was of the opinion that as far as the test of the Meisota is concerned, he had no tolerance for the idea that there would be a delayed result on the test. In other words, the test gave immediate results of the Meisota. So here Rabbi Shimon says, I agree. The Torah says osa, that when you have the sota drink, she drinks by herself. And Rabbi Shimon says, but also I go beyond that. I explain time of the krav. What's the reason? The reason why is because I don't want two sotas emboldening one another. Matam kamar, matam osalavada, kadesh lo yehili bagas bechaverta. Gemara says, good. That's the difference between Rabbi Shimon, who is the Tanakama, and the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, my beinayu. The Gemara says, okay. So what are we doing now? We're having a discussion of why one sota at a time? What's the difference? The Gemara says, what's a nafkamina? By now the Gemara says, I'll tell you what a nafkamina is, and that would be rosasas. So the Gemara says, let's say you see one or both of the sotas, they're shaking. They're terrified, which is understandable. So now, if it's a drasha, like according to Rabbi Yehuda, so right now we're not really interested in their state. I mean, obviously we are, but in saying, in terms of, should we do it both together? Should we separate them each one at a time? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a drasha. The drasha is osalavada. And you don't go beyond that. You don't look for time of the krah, the reason behind that. Just each one at a time. That's it, period. Whereas according to the Tanakama, who is Rabbi Shimon, you're dorish time of the krah. The reason why is because I don't want them emboldening one another. If you see clearly that they're both shaking and they're both terrified, So you clearly see that they're not emboldening one another, and then you can have them drink even two at the same time. So the Gemara says, now I don't understand. We have a general principle, and that is you're not allowed to bundle your mitzvahs together. Right? Popular. This is where the discussion gets popular. You're not allowed to bundle your mitzvahs together. Right? The Gemara in Pesachim in the 10th parak has this discussion at length. The Gemara over there talks about when you have Kiddush and Havdalah coming up at the same time, which is on a Motzei Shabbos going into Yantiv. So you have Kiddush and you have Havdalah, and the issues of whether or not you're allowed to make mitzvahs, chavilas, where you can bundle the two of them over one cup of wine. Parenthetical, by the way, you can. The Gemara over there wonders why isn't that a violation of Enos and Mitzvot Chavilas. Other applications of this rule is that we know that our minhag is, the minhag for however, last at least 1,000 years, the our minhag is to take the Erisin and the Nisuin and put them together in the same ceremony. So what do we do? So do we do it over one cup of wine or should we do it over two cups of wine? So once again, that's a question of Enos and Mitzvot Chavilas. So over here also, you have the two Sotas who are there together. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Shimon, if you see they're not emboldening one another, you can have them drink at the same time. To which the Gemara says, isn't this a violation of Enos and Mitzvot Chavilas Chavilas? Did not. Ein Mashkin Shei Sotas Ka'achas, Ein Matarin Shnei Matzarin Ka'achas. You're not allowed to have two Sotas drink at the same time. You're not allowed to have two Matzarin be purified at the same time. Ein Rotzin Shnei Avadim Ka'achas. If you have two Eved Ivris who decide, I like my job, I'd like to stay, I would like the reeds to eat, to have the nirsa, to have my ear pierced. You're not allowed to do two at the same time. Ein orphan shtei agalos ka'achas. Talk about things that are unlikely to occur simultaneously. Yeah. Two egla arufas at the same time. Right? Unusual that would happen. But the point is...
That's not a location issue.
Yes, agreed. But the point is, lefish enos and mitzvos chavilos chavilos. And the reason why is because you're not allowed to bundle your mitzvos. And so therefore, so the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do any of these mitzvos simultaneously because it will be bundling of the mitzvos. Amar Abayi v'item Rav Kahana lo kasha kam b'kohanecha kam b'shnei kohanim. The Gemara's answer is, depends. Meaning if you're having one kohen do it, Kohen Achas, so then no problem at all. Other way around. Okay, I got too much information in my head. So look at Rashi, Kohen Achas, Havi Chavilos. So Rashi says that if it's one Kohen and there are two sotas in front of him, so that's bundling. That's now you're just bundling your mitzvahs. However, if there are two sotas and two Kohanim for the two sotas, so Rashi says that's not going to be a problem of bundling. What is the problem of bundling mitzvahs together? Osin mitzvahs chavilos chavilos. So that is a larger discussion. Rashi over here on the daf says, I'm reading Rashi chavilos chavilos shenira kemishai alav lamasui imamar lafarik maso. When you bundle mitzvahs together, it looks like it's a burden. Meaning, let me just get this over with. Okay, so two sotas. Okay, I mean, obviously the idea of having a sota in the Beis Hamikdash is exciting. I don't mean that in a positive sense. But in other words, obviously it's a big deal. And when all said and done, it's a mitzvah. Meaning, it's obviously an unusual mitzvah. And there's a lot of emotion involved. But when all said and done, it's a mitzvah. Just one second. So it's a mitzvah. So if I have two sotas and I say, you know what, two sotas, let's just get it over with. Okay? Here, you drink. So it's nira Allah kamasu, it looks like a burden. And we're just trying to get rid of it. So that's Rashi over here's explanation of why it is you're not allowed to make a mitzvah chavilos chavilos, you're not allowed to bundle mitzvahs together. There is a Tosfos in Moed Katan. Okay, not that long ago, we were there. So Tosfos in Moed Katan says that, you know what the issue is? In terms of why not allowed to bundle mitzvahs together? Because we know that when you do a mitzvah, you have to be concentrating on the mitzvah that you're doing. It's called kavana, the idea of kavana. So mitzvah tzrichos kavana. I know it's a major debate whether they absolutely require or they don't absolutely require, but when all said and done, we're all in agreement. A mitzvah requires kavana. It's just that if I don't have kavana, do I have to redo the mitzvah? That's subject to a machlokas. But mitzvahs require kavana. And what happens is, it says Tosfos in the Gemara in Moed Katan, is that if we take two mitzvahs and do them at the same time, there is no possible way that I can have both of them in my mind at the same time. I can't have kavana on both at the same time. It is what I would call the texting and driving dilemma. You can't do both. You can't do both at the same time. You think you can do both at the same time. You can't do both at the same time, and obviously it's not going to. You're going to lose one of the two. Hopefully the texting. Not the driving. So over here, so that's Tosos and Moed Katan says that's the reason why you cannot be, you can't make your mitzvahs chavilos. This Tosos just one more point. There's obviously much more to discuss about this issue, but this Tosos over here in Moed Katan, the Tosos over there in Moed Katan helps us resolve an issue that bothers Tosos over here. Tosos over here is bothered by what just happened in our Gemara, a discussion in the Gemara whether or not you can have two sotos drink at the same time. Machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. It's not really a machlokus, but how did darshan the psukim? And then the Tosos says, and what happens? The Gemara introduces the idea of Einos Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. The way Rashi over here in our Gemara understands it, it's a question of an attitude. Meaning, it looks like you're trying to get rid of your mitzvos. It's an attitudinal issue. Tosos says, at best, what are we talking about? We're talking about a Din D'Rabbanan. How can the Gemara have shifted from talking about Sukkim and Darshaning Torah to, I know, we're not minimizing, but it's a din derabbanan, and Tosus is bothered, right? Tosus, they know it's the mitzvahs chavilos. Tema, my parach v'alo, he knows the mitzvahs chavilos leika. Ela iser mid derabbanan, mishum demechse alei kamasa ve'inu pliga b'kray. They're arguing about psukim, and now you're introducing mitzvahs chavilos. Like what's? You're not in the same discussion. So the mitzvah Esan, one of the achronim in the back of the Gemara says, yeah, if you understand the chavilos as a function, as an attitudinal issue, so then Tosus' question is a very good question. However, if you go to the Tosus and Moed Katan, who says that the issue of osa mitzvah chavilos is you're not having proper kavana, that's a din daraisa, right? The Gemara over there, Moed Katan, darshan's psukim. Tosus over there, darshan's psukim. So it could be that the Tosus' question could be resolved if chavilos chavilos is a function of kavana, not a function of attitude. Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
The water. Is the water prepared in front of the sota? And if so, do they use the same water for this? And avoid...
I don't know. It's a reasonable question. I don't know. Hakohen oches bebegadeha. Kohen grab her clothing. Tana Rabbanu Faras Rosh Isha Ein Leela Rosha Gufa Minayim. Now we certainly know that her hair gets uncovered. That the Torah says. But in terms of the rest of her body, where does that come from? Tamalomer Ha Isha. So okay, the woman. So it's a drasha. Imke Matamalomer Faras Rosha Malamicha Kohen Sosir Sara. Okay, so if the body's going to get exposed, so then why is the Torah focusing on the hair? So the Gemara says, because that's a mitzvah incumbent upon the Kohen. The Kohen himself is the one that's going to undo her hair. Rabbi Yehuda Amim Haya Liba Na'e. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says that if she is attractive, so then Rabbi Yehuda says, then let's not do it. Because the attractiveness of this woman is going to be a yetzahara for everyone there. So lemeimer le Rabbi Yehuda chayish lehiru v'rabban lo chayisha. Now, what comes out from our Gemara here and the dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is that seemingly seems to be the very reasonable explanation. The Tanakhama is of the opinion that okay, even if she's attractive, so it's okay. Well, we're going to go through the process and everyone will be able to contain themselves and control themselves. Whereas according to Rav Yehuda, no. If she's attractive, so then we have a then we have a problem of hirurim. Meanwhile, as it relates to the sixth perek of Sanhedrin, where the Gemara there goes through the details of how to do an execution, so the Gemara over there says that as it relates to the man, so you strip the man and the woman down before sending them off the ledge. We're talking about the execution of Skila. And the man gets stripped down, but the erva is covered. The woman gets stripped down, but her erva is covered. And the chachamim say, no. The man is going to get stripped down, but the woman is not going to get stripped down. But rather, she is going to be executed with skila, with her clothing on. Amar Rabba, pause. Stira. We have a contradiction. Meaning, in the Gemara in Sota, it sounds like Rav Yehuda is the one who's worried about Hirurim, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in terms of execution, It seems to be that they had a role reversal. Rav Yehuda says, as far as the woman is concerned, you do not strip her down. You keep her clothing on. And she's executed with her clothing on. And the Chachamim also do a role reversal. We have, therefore, what's called a stira. Amar Rabba Hacha, time of Maishna. Sorry. My Shematetsa mi basin zakayim. Vidgarbo pirche kahuna. Ha samha mistalka. Now, the Gemara makes an obvious distinction. Over here in our Gemara in Sota, could be that this attractive woman has been stripped down and she'll be innocent. And then what? She'll be around. And so, there will be a problem of here, and there will continue to be a problem of here. Masha Ein Kain, who has the Gemara in Sanhedrin, she's about to be executed. Okay, so even if she is exposed, but she'll be executed. The Gemara says, okay, but isn't seeing her going to present the problem of the Hurim in general? The Gemara says, no. The Gemara says that as it relates to the Yitzhahara, one of the lessons of today's daf regarding the Yitzhahara is that the Yitzhahara incites us most for the things that are currently present in front of us. Okay. The Gemara says, okay, what you did is you answered up half the stira. Meaning, so that you resolve the issue between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda. The Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah over here says that you should not expose the attractive sota, because over here she may survive and she'll be present. And therefore the Hurim will be activated. The Gemara in Sanhedrin over there is talking about a woman who's going to be executed, so therefore we're not worried about Hurim as much. That's the resolution as it relates to Rabbi Huda. But the Gemara notes, what are you going to do with the Chachamim, who also reversed roles? So the Gemara says, Kasha derabana derabana lo kasha, ela amarava derabihuda lo kasha, kida shanina. So stay with the answer for Rabbi Huda, meaning that answer is correct. And derabana derabana lo kasha, hacha taima maimishum, vinivasu kolanashim. So the Gemara says, as it relates to the Sota, we want this to be an object lesson for everybody. Meaning here, everyone take a look. So yes, she's going to be disheveled and she's going to be exposed. And yes, it may incite the Yetzer a little bit. But again, the object lesson of, right, let's not behave like that, that's so valuable that we're gonna go forward over here. So Vinimaster called Hashem Hasam and Lachayisu Gadamizeh. Over there in the Gemara Sanhedrin, she's going to be executed. Okay, you don't need more of an object lesson than she's going to be executed. So with the clothing on, without the clothing on, meaning lesson learned. Don't do what she did. V'chite malavid batarte. And the Gemara says, okay, well, why not? In the Gemara Sanhedrin, why not both execute her and also expose her? Meaning, if it's an object lesson, so wouldn't that be an object lesson? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abaravu, Amar Krav, Haftal Recha Kamocha. Bar lo misa yafe. So the Gemara employs the pasuk of Haftal Recha Kamocha. Right? We've made this comment a number of times. Let's say it again. And that is Haftal Recha Kamocha. The Gemara quotes it in the most unusual circumstances. Meaning the Gemara, instead of saying Haftal Recha Kamocha, like we should all love each other, which is what seemingly the pasuk is trying to teach us, the Gemara says, you know, when you execute somebody, be nice, be gentle. Right, the woman keep her clothing on. Right, it's always interesting that the Gemara uses Vavtalerich Kamocha for quote unquote the more unusual applications. There is a Tosfos, it's not here. There's a Tosfos that says Vavtalerich Kamocha is most relevant for after death. But in other words, while the person's alive, so we don't say Vavtalerich Kamocha because Chayecha Kodmin. Anyway, well, let's move on. Lema Rav Nachman Tanai, the Gemara says, now, is this issue of Rav Nachman and Machlokas Tanai? No, the Kuleyama is Lud Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, no. Everyone's in agreement with Rav Nachman, meaning select a death that is pleasant. Like what Rav Nachman says, V'hachaba kamifligi marsavet bizyonah adiflei, tfei mitzara dugufei marsavet tzara dugufei adiflei, tfei mi bizyonei. And the Gemara says, and look, really, the difference is the following, that if she has her clothing on, that clothing is going to cushion her fall a little bit. And so she'll save a little bit of embarrassment because she is clothed. On the other hand, the death will be a more painful death because that clothing is going to cushion her a little bit. And so the issue is that the Rabbi Huda and the Tanakhama are grappling with is, what's preferable? Is it preferable that her death be less painful or is it preferable that she would be saved some embarrassment? That's what they're arguing about. Gemara says that basically you change her into less attractive clothing. The Mishnah gives the example changing from white to black. The Braisa gives the example just change her from black to less attractive clothing. Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. Take off her jewelry. I need the Mishnah to teach me that? Meaning we're doing things that are obviously there to embarrass her. Obviously we're taking off the jewelry. To which the Gemara says, you know what? We could have argued that leaving the jewelry on is even more embarrassing. Because look, she's basically being disheveled, somewhat exposed. Leaving the jewelry on is such an irony. And that would embarrass her more. It's the Gemara says it's like the old expression, right? You take off all your clothing and meanwhile you have your shoes on. Like, how ridiculous is it that you have your shoes on? So over here, the irony of her having her jewelry on may in fact have been more embarrassing. The Mishnah's point is, take off the jewelry. Who? The Egyptian rope that's tied around her. So is it just a functional issue, asked the Gemara? Where if I don't have an Egyptian rope and I have just some sort of string that holds up the clothing, that's sufficient? Or on the other hand, no. Is the Chevel HaMitzri symbolic? Symbolic of the idea that she wore some sort of belt in order to lure her guy, and so therefore the symbolism of the belt is really what's important. And so therefore it's not just a functional issue, it's also symbolic as well. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa says very clearly that no, that we are going to remove we're going to tie on the Chevel HaMitzri so that her clothing doesn't fall off. So it sounds like from the Braisa, the issue is really strictly a functional issue. So first the Braisa says, anyone who wants to come view, so open seating. But then the Mishnah says, the women should really go view, not the men. Amar Abaye Tirgama Anashim Tirgama Anashim. So the Abaye says, yeah, that's the targum is women. Amle Rava va kol harotzaliros baroa. So once again, Rava says it's funny. It's like one of the themes of today is Abaye and Rava are arguing about whether or not you're gonna adjust the Mishnah at all. Rava says the Mishnah says kol haroa. So Ella Amarava Kol Harotza Liros Baroa, Loshna Gavra Veloshna Nishe. So Rava's resolution is, in terms of who wants to go see, anyone who would like to can go see. However, Loshna Gavra Veloshna Nashim, Nashim Chayavos Lerosa Shinemar Venivasa Kol Anashim Velosa Asana Kizimat Chena. However, as far as women are concerned, women are more than invited, they're encouraged. They're obligated. Excuse me. They should see because of the object lesson that the Sota presents for all the women. But in terms of who can view, Rava's understanding is really anyone is allowed to view. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow with the Mishnah. Next number of Dapim of the Masechta, the long Dapim, but really are going to be focusing on the topic of Mida Keneged Mida. Super enjoyable Gemara's coming up. You know a lot of the Gemara's already that are coming up. But we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll start up from the new Mishnah, Mida Keneged Mida.